is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, and Jamie.
Welcome to Friday's show. It's a two-man show. Adam and... I'll leave you guessing for a little bit. Is it Heath? Is it Jamie? Is it Dave?
Hey, buddy.
It's Dave.
What do you mean it's Dave?
It's Dave it's doing Heath. It. Jamie and Dave doing it. Heath. Very good. I love it.
I'd love to hear them try and do my voice.
You cannot be imitated except your laugh, which Scott White has down pat.
Yeah, the old Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah, he nails it. We'll have to get him. We got to do that. What's up, Dave?
And it makes me laugh too. Adam, I'm doing well, but I'm just wondering, Adam, were you as sad as I was watching Luke Kuechly get carted off the field? He looks so
downtrodden.
I mean, just totally devastated. Downtrodden isn't even the word. It's devastated. The last thing I thought is he suffered a concussion. I thought he suffered some sort of leg injury, and he was limping the play before. But I felt like frozen. Watching that happen, and I can't imagine how the Panthers defenders felt having to play right after that. And listen, they're going to be in trouble. They lost him. They lost Mario Addison. They lost Leonard Johnson. That's their slot corner. And they got picked on relentlessly after those guys left. This is bad news for that Carolina defense if they're going to miss those guys against Oakland in week 12.
And they lost their center, Ryan Khalil, and their offense seemed to suffer.
I could go on and on about both offensive lines from last night. But if you want to know why Cam's not having the year he's having, or Kelvin Benjamin isn't having the year he's having, same with Jonathan Stewart and Greg Olsen, it starts with that offensive line. It is bad.
See, I have a slight disagreement there. In my opinion, from watching Cam, it's not all the offensive line. He holds the ball so long.
Of course, that's part of it.
And I don't think they have the personnel to do this, Dave, but remember what the Seahawks did last year? They changed their offense after their bye. They went to short passes. They got the ball out quickly. We see the Lions doing that now. A lot of teams are doing that because of bad offensive line play to avoid the sacks, and I just don't think that this team is built for that. They need Cam Newton to have time. They need Kelvin Benjamin to get downfield. They need Ted Ginn to get downfield. They need the big plays. I don't think they can just change their offense, and that's my, I guess, sort of scouty take on why they're really struggling right now.
There's a lot of that, too, and, you know, for as big as Kelvin Benjamin is, he should be dominating, but he's not very fast. He seems slower than I remember. And I spent time this week, I really should have talked about this before last night's game. I spent time this week looking at last week's game, and the Chiefs were very comfortable putting single coverage on Kelvin. Mm-hmm. There were a few plays where they would double him up once he got 5 yards downfield, but they were very comfortable, and he only runs like 3 or 4 different routes. So they were real comfortable just using one smaller guy against him, and they limited him. So I don't think he's as good. He's certainly an underachiever at this point. And it's very frustrating for me because I've seen him in person. I love the guy. I think he's got the potential to be just a difference maker in the NFL, but it's just not happening.
It's hard now to keep making excuses for them. And Cam Newton with 13 fantasy points last night and still only 2 games with more than more than one touchdown pass, and he threw 35 touchdown passes last year. This is the lowest completion percentage of Cam's career. His rushing yards in his last 5 games: 1, 43, 16, 54, and 7. So he's been inconsistent there. And I keep saying, buy low. They're going to be fine. It's coming. I don't know, man. I know this was a Thursday, but this was the Saints. They should be doing better than this. And Dave, I don't know how confident I am. At Oakland, at Seattle, San Diego, at Washington, Atlanta, and then at Tampa Bay in week 17. Other than Seattle, it doesn't look bad, but I don't know. Like, where do you think Cam Newton is rest of season?
I think he's a platoon quarterback rest of season.
Wow.
Really do. I think it's, and especially if Ryan Khalil's out, that means 3/5 of the starting offensive line, has been hit by injury, or just bad play. And Cam just he doesn't seem like the same guy as last year. He's not nearly as consistent of a passer. And the numbers really bear that out. So if you've got Cam Newton, take the steps right now. Get Tyrod Taylor on your team if you can. Find somebody else if you can't get Tyrod Taylor, but get a second quarterback to go back and forth with. I don't feel good about Cam Newton rest of the season.
Greg Olsen or Tyler Eifert rest of the season? Olsen, last four games, only one's been more than 3 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues.
And let's be fair, the last 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks and 3 out of the last 4 weeks, he's had difficult matchups. I think the Saints safeties are kind of underrated. I still think he's going to be very good. I like him a little bit at Oakland. The game at San Diego could be good. I still think that Eifert's the better tight end.
Eifert?
Yes.
Okay. And any other takeaways from this game? Let's go to the
Hightower.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I never really mentioned this, and I wish I had, but I have Hightower in 2 leagues. One of them was an Ingram league, so that made sense. And the other one, I don't have Ingram. But I've had Hightower from the beginning. I drafted Hightower because we have deep benches. I always felt like Mark Ingram was the most likely, maybe Carlos Hyde, I don't know, but one of the most likely running backs to get hurt. And Hightower was really good for fantasy owners in their playoffs last year, fantasy playoffs. So, obviously he looked really good. What did you think? I thought he was basically alternating series with Ingram, but Hightower had about 7 touches in the first half, and he got about 15 or so after the Ingram injury.
Well, of course he's going to get him after the Ingram injury because he's the backup running back, and he looks good. He looks just as good as he did last year, and it's really just, you know, if Luke Kuechly is a devastating story, Tim Hightower is a fun story. And I don't think he's out there in many leagues, but those who've stashed him, I have him in a couple leagues too, Adam. I think he's got a chance to be the lead guy against Oakland. And that's the Raiders team coming off of a Monday night game, so that'll be a short week for them and a long week for New Orleans. It's just a matter of how Ingram fares in the concussion protocol.
Okay, yeah, Ingram, right, being evaluated for concussion. Hightower, 73% owned. Drew Brees scored 19 fantasy points. You know, it's funny, he was going to have a bad game last week, and then he got the late, what'd you say?
How many in the second half?
Almost all. Yeah. But he was going to have a bad game last week. And then he got the late touchdown to Cooks. And he could have had a good game this week, about 25 or 6 fantasy points, but Willie Snead couldn't hang on to that touchdown, was knocked away on a very good play.
2 passes that Snead could have caught for touchdowns.
2? Yeah. And there were a lot of almost touchdowns in this game, actually. What do you think about the passing game? Is it going to be frustrating for fantasy owners with all these wide receivers kind of trading good games?
Yeah. Did I say New Orleans is playing Oakland? I said Carolina was playing Oakland. New Orleans next week has the Rams at home. And then they've got the Lions at home. I think everybody can bounce back in those next couple games. I think if you've got Brandon Cooks, he's going to be fine. I wonder if Michael Thomas is starting to hit that rookie wall a little bit. And I'm not buying into Kobe Fleener, not buying into Brandon Coleman. Coleman dropped a pass that would have been huge for the Saints in the fourth quarter. But I think there is some optimism for Snead. Especially in matchups coming up where the slot looks good, because as soon as Leonard Johnson got hurt last night, even before Leonard Johnson got hurt, Breeze was looking his way. And certainly in the red zone, that's a target that Breeze looks for. I think they'll be able to march downfield against the Rams, against the Lions in a couple weeks, and those matchups are going to be very favorable for Snead. So if you've got him and you've been frustrated with him, I would be optimistic that he'll be somebody that helps push you into the fantasy playoffs.
We are going to have some fun today. I asked people on Twitter, who are you nervous about starting this week? So we are going to do kind of a startometer, but you know, I want to do a Nintendo theme, since the Nintendo has been.
Because all you can think about right now is the Nintendo.
All I can think about is how much I despise the makers, the creators, the people who work at Nintendo who decided to create the greatest product of all time and make like 300 copies of it.
How does nobody who works at Nintendo not listen to our podcast?
Well, then they need to step it up.
Prize.
Get more consoles out there. I mean, it's like every day I'm trying to get them. It's open for like a 1 minute window, and then I think I'm going to get it, and I don't. I was so mad yesterday. Anyway, we're going to do a Nintendo themed startometer. It's going to be fun. Now, I've been getting a very weird comment from a few people lately. It's been popping up every now and then. Some people are saying, I'm downloading your podcast, there's no sound. What's going on? So if that happens, reset your iPhone, problem solved. If that ever happens to you, just reset your iPhone. It works for everybody.
You're not talking about like resetting it to like the way it came from the company.
No, no. You know, just power it on and off, but.
Just say that. Don't say reset.
Okay, sorry. Power it on and off. I never do that, so. Hey, let's read the email of the day, Dave.
Email of the day.
It's from Dave in D-Town.
That would be Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know if that was like Dave in Dave Town. Egotistical
I've never
guy.
Been to Dave Town, Adam.
Okay. Dear Mr. Crowley, Ka, and Sir Hiss. Do you know
I
them?
Don't you know that, and I don't. Is it Stranger Things?
No, it appears to be Disney characters. Okay. You should know that. You have kids. I traded a pile of hot garbage. Brandon Marshall, Marvin Jones, and Todd Gurley to a first-time fantasy football player for Le'Veon Bell. Am I a bad friend?
Depends on when you did it. If you did it and we...
He did it yesterday.
He did it yesterday? You're a bad friend, but you are a sneaky, conniving, no good future fantasy football champion, because that's the type of thing that you've got to do. Sometimes you got to get yourself a little dirty to make a fantasy trade go down. And are you taking advantage of a first-time fantasy player? Yes. Are you trading him a bunch of names that he's heard of for one player? Also, yes. Is there a mechanism in your league to veto trades or a commissioner to say, sorry, that's not fair? It doesn't sound like there is. Maybe you're a bad friend and you're probably a bad person, but you're on your way to winning a fantasy title.
They're all bad people in Dave Town. Hey, you out there in Dave Town and all around the country, call us up on Saturday night. 855-212-4227 is the number. Call us up on Ion Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern until midnight. Watch Fantasy Football Today live Monday through Friday at noon Eastern, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern until kickoff, the best last-minute lineup advice you can get. That's on CBSSports.com. And if you are looking for a new type of fantasy league, try the DraftMaster app. DraftMaster, it's just an app on iPhones, and it's kind of like a combination of seasonal and daily. It's really cool, so check it out. Let's get into the rankings. We have two games from yesterday to talk about and the rest of the NFC home games. I want to call you out on a few rankings, Dave.
Let's go.
Kirk Cousins, one spot ahead of Tom Brady. I think they are 7th and 8th in your rankings.
I smell a shootout in Washington. And if not a shootout, I smell a Washington pour it on the Packers type of victory. I don't buy into the Green Bay defense being good or strong. I think they've really fallen off over their past couple of games. You saw what Tennessee did to them. They jumped on them early and often. Indianapolis found a way to put points on them. Atlanta 3 weeks ago. I don't think the defense is any good. This is not about who's the MVP of the league. This is about who's going to put up the most stats. And I will take Kirk Cousins against Green Bay over a Gronkless Tom Brady playing his first ever game in San Francisco.
Interesting. You know, there's not a great history of Brady bouncing back from zero touchdown games for a few reasons. One, it hasn't happened very often.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of zero touchdown games.
Two, three times he's done it. He's done it in week 17, so couldn't bounce back after. I don't know what he did in the playoffs.
What about the playoffs?
I didn't look, but
I'm sure he did fine.
But you know, but those week 17 games, it might have been one of them at least was probably useless, useless game. But you know, San Francisco, they give up the 6 most fantasy points to quarterbacks. All right, Kirk Cousins 7, Brady 8. All right, rankings call out number 2, Dave Richard. You've got Carlos Hyde pretty low. It's worth the back end of your top 24 in standard. Outside of it, in PPR, you have James Starks, Todd Gurley, Theo Riddick, even in standard over Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, this is one that I'll probably even have a hard time justifying. I don't like starting Carlos Hyde just because he's Carlos Hyde, and I know that the matchup seems really good for him. You look at the Patriots defense, and they've struggled against the run.
They've struggled against pass-catching running backs. I don't think it's a great matchup for him, and then you do feel like they're going to be behind, which is never good for him.
I just don't like the fact that Hyde has been below 4 yards per carry for 3 straight games, and for 2 straight games he's had less than 15 carries. And maybe he just needed last week to knock off the rust. He averaged 1.1 yard per carry.
Yeah, it was bad.
not so good. So I'm kind of calling a shot here. I'm not really feeling Carlos Hyde. I understand a lot of people are going to start him anyway. I don't know if this is going to be a game where he gets 20 plus carries, and when he does get 20 carries, yes, he scores, usually gets you 70 plus yards. He did it earlier against Arizona. He did it in garbage time at Seattle and then week one against LA. So he's done it against tough defenses. I just don't know if that workload's going to be there. It makes me scared.
Okay, and then last one, rankings call out. I think tight end's kind of tough this week after the elite ones. But you've got Eric Ebron over Jimmy Graham. And, you know, at first I was like, really? Then I looked, Jimmy Graham, 5 or fewer fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games. He has been better at home, and he's got a home game against the Eagles. But Ebron, he's facing the Jaguars, and they haven't allowed more than 7 fantasy points in standard to any tight end all year. They've been really good. So Ebron over Graham, I think only one spot ahead, though, for you.
I like Ebron, certainly in PPR, ahead of Jimmy Graham. And I think the matchup is actually going to be tougher for Graham than it's going to be for Ebron. And I think Detroit will pass a decent amount. It's just a matter of touchdowns for Matthew Stafford. I feel like they're at the point right now where teams are just, they're willing to bend but not break against the Lions. And so when they get in the red zone, they tend to tighten up and cover those receivers better. And I don't know if any of those receivers can truly get open when they get in the end zone. So they'd have to break a tackle and make a play like Golden Tate did in the Lions' last game to win it for them. But I do think Ebron can collect more yardage. And so I'm banking on neither of them scoring and Ebron getting more catches and more yards than Jimmy Graham. I do buy into the Eagles' safeties. I think that they're going to try and take out Jimmy Graham first. And I think the matchup for Russell Wilson is going to be against the cornerbacks for Philly. And plus, I think Seattle's going to try and run the ball a little bit more. Now that they're getting Rawls back and they've got their fun toy in CJ Procise, I think that they're going to try and run the ball a little bit more.
All right. Ebron's done really well each of his last 2 games, 7 for 79 and 7 for 92. Yep. Against tough matchups, Houston and Minnesota. So he's a stalwart in PPR right now. You know who my number one tight end would be this week? I'm looking at your rankings. You all have it wrong. Well, first of all, Heath and Jamie had Greg Olsen. You have Jordan Reed. Delanie Walker should be the number one tight end this week. He is my FanDuel tight end.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. Jordan Reed is my number one tight end?
In PPR, he is. In standard, it's Eifert followed by Walker.
That will be changed. There's no way it should be that. How did I not know that?
Yeah, Delanie. And I think he's a decent price on FanDuel. I'm going to give out, we'll give out some FanDuel lineups in a bit. Your news and notes. Actually, he's not my FanDuel tight end. This one is too easy. Everybody will have him, but I'm okay with that. Martellus Bennett is my FanDuel tight end. Rob Gronkowski did not practice, and we don't expect him to play. Martellus Bennett will be the number two tight end this week, Dave.
He should be up there. There's always the concern that, again, New England just runs the ball like crazy, and Martellus Bennett, the blocker, does more than Martellus Bennett, the pass catcher. But at this point, if there's no Rob Gronkowski, everybody who has Martellus Bennett will start Martellus Bennett. And it makes sense. I just don't know if he's going to come through with 100 and a touch. I do think Delanie Walker, Tyler Eifert, and yes, Jordan Reed will be better.
For what it's worth, both Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham earlier this year had 100 and a touchdown against San Francisco. Big injury here, Dave. Brandon Albert, week to week after wrist surgery, he's not going to play. Mike Pouncey, Miami center, probably not going to play with a hip injury.
It's a big deal.
It is. Here's what the Miami Herald said. In 4 games with Miami's starting 5 offensive linemen intact, the Dolphins, they're 4-0, 180 rushing yards per game, 29 points per game. The other 5 games, they're 1-4. They go from 180 rushing yards per game to 72.4 yards per game, and they are about 11.5 points lower, and 1-4 compared to 4-0. Only 2, assuming Albert and Pouncey are both out, only 2 of Miami's starting 5 offensive linemen will be playing their natural positions. They're going to have to move some parts around. So, look, those stats are maybe a little skewed because Jay Ajayi didn't have the starting job, you know, when they had the injuries on
Eric
the line.
Foster, and then when Foster wasn't playing, they were mixing and matching, and they weren't really running that much then.
But are you nervous now about Jay Ajayi?
Yeah, I'm going to wait for – I guess I'm just waiting for the official – injury report on Friday, but my guess is that neither of those guys will indeed play. Albert is definitely not going to play, and it doesn't sound good for Pouncey either. And what a terrible time for this to happen, because they're playing against the Rams. They're known for that big defensive line. Aaron Donald is going to have a field day, and it's going to make it very hard for Jay Ajayi to go off. I haven't really thought about it for rankings purposes, but I think you have no choice at this time other than to look at Jay Ajayi and say he's a number two fantasy running back. That's the expectation you have to have. Now, the nice thing about Ajayi, Adam, is that he can catch passes out.
But he hasn't been doing it.
but they can go to it, and he's done it before. And I think it's just a matter of whether or not they realize that that's an option. I would give Adam Gase credit for being a little creative with his offense. It's clearly in the playbook. It's just a matter of whether or not he'll actually do it. But that's how Ajayi can kind of save his day, is if he catches more than the one or two passes that he's been getting. If you look at his last four games, one catch, three catches, one catch. He's got to get at least three catches. And if he does that, fantasy owners should feel pretty good about it. And that is what he got against the Jets. Tough matchup, big defensive line. Jay Ajayi had three catches in that game.
Okay, let's go through the rest of the news and notes. Zach Ertz missed practice. He is confident he'll play. I don't think anybody really wants to start him at Seattle. Larry Fitzgerald practiced in full. We'll find out if you want to start him at Minnesota.
Yes. Okay.
Percy Harvin will start this week. I don't think anybody cares.
No.
Adrian Peterson has resumed light running. Is Peterson worth stashing?
I wouldn't.
Okay. Kansas City cornerback Marcus Peters did not practice due to a hip injury. Does that mean much for Mike Evans?
Listen, of course it does, because Marcus Peters is the Chiefs' best corner. But if Justin Houston's coming back and playing on obvious passing situations, and the Tampa Bay offensive line could be down their starting center and their backup center, I don't think it's even going to matter if Peters plays or not.
Well, you're still starting Evans.
You can still start Evans. I can't look at Evans and say don't start him.
Right,
but Jameis.
Right.
Yeah, he's moved outside of my top 12.
Jeremy Maclin missed practice, so Tyreek Hill.
He's in my top 24. I love him. Love Eli Rogers. Two really good sleepers at receiver this week.
Do you expect DeSean Jackson against Green Bay?
No, I'm going to wait until Jay Gruden gives him the true green light, and we haven't seen it yet.
And then I'm just going to give you a bunch of names that are on the injury report, should play. You tell me if anything's different here. Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray, Andrew Luck, Lamar Miller, Randall Cobb, Jordan Matthews.
They should all play.
Okay, let's do yesterday's leftovers quickly here, Dave. We didn't get to a couple of games, and one of them is really interesting. We're going to Mexico City for Houston and Oakland on Monday night, and a lot of people have questions about Lamar Miller. So Miller in his last two games, 17 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown, and then 15 carries for 83 yards. He still, in standard scoring leagues, only has one game with more than 11 fantasy points, has not had 30 receiving yards in a game yet. So he's been really disappointing, but not a total terrible bust. Do you feel confident in Lamar Miller this week?
I do. And I'm still ready to start him with borderline number one, number two running back expectations. On the season, Oakland's allowed 4.7 yards per carry to running backs, but just 3.3 yards per carry in their last two games. It was against Tampa Bay. It was against Denver. Two average offensive lines. They did give up a 69-yard catch and run to Capri Bibbs in that game. And Houston's offensive line is certainly average right now. So I'm not ready to say, yes, this is the big breakout game for Lamar Miller. I think if he gets you 10 fantasy points, you should be happy.
Miller or Ajayi?
It's Ajayi.
Yeah.
Even with the offensive line issues, yeah.
Okay. Miller or Eli Rogers?
Man, that's close in a PPR. In a standard, I'm still going to go Miller. I think I'm going to go Miller in a PPR as well.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, I do think we talked about him enough yesterday. He's,
I don't like him.
You like him as like a number three, right?
Yeah, last four games, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Allen Robinson, Mike Evans, Jeremy Maclin, they all had less than 60 yards. They didn't score.
That's
against Oakland.
Right.
And it's non-number one receivers that have been playing better against the Raiders. So is DeAndre Hopkins the number one receiver for Houston? Yes.
Yeah. And C.J. Fedorowicz, top 11 tight end. He's 40% owned. Oakland allows the eighth most fantasy points to tight end, so if you're not feeling your tight end this week, C.J. Fedorowicz, the thinking cap, could be good. We talked about Derek Carr yesterday. Dave and Jamie have him 14th. Heath has Derek Carr 10th. So we covered a lot of this game. Latavius Murray, you are starting. He's top 12 for everybody, top 7 for Dave and Jamie.
Yep, keep expecting a big workload for him.
And as we said yesterday, we don't love Carr, but Cooper and Crabtree still should be fine. Pittsburgh at Cleveland was the other game we didn't really cover, but we said we love Ben Roethlisberger even though he's on the road. His only good road game last year was at Cleveland. He should be just fine. Antonio Brown, number one wide receiver. But it's funny, you and Jamie have Ben Roethlisberger number one, and Heath has him fifth. And you all have Le'Veon Bell number one in both formats. You all have Antonio Brown number one in both formats. So And we got into Eli Rogers. I think we actually covered this game pretty well. Heath says he likes Isaiah Crowell. I don't really get it.
I like Isaiah Crowell, but it's more of a low-end number two. I think he has his best game in the last month. And I think he's got a chance to score. What worries me is Cleveland's offensive line. What soothes me, what makes me feel better about it, is the matchup against Pittsburgh and that their defense is bad. And Hugh Jackson talked up Isaiah Crowell this week, says he needs to get him more involved. And philosophically, it would make sense to shorten the game a little bit, run the football, try to control the clock, and take advantage of that matchup. It's just a matter of whether or not they can, you know, block him up the right way. And they haven't been able to do that lately in Cleveland.
Eli Rogers or Terrell Pryor?
Rogers.
Okay. Sit Corey Coleman. I feel like we did go through this game. Either that or we just talked about everybody in this game independently.
There's just not a lot to get to that's not obvious.
Yeah, Ladarius Green is the tricky one. Like, I had Ladarius Green. I picked him up off waivers.
And
you say that.
It's going to go up, but you can't.
You say that, but Zach Ertz has a tough matchup. Kyle Rudolph has a really tough matchup. And I actually dropped Green for Rudolph. But I'm a little worried about it.
I can't do it. I understand that it's a favorable matchup, but this guy played 12 snaps last week. The next step would be, what, half the snaps? And if the Steelers have a lead, there's no way he's catching passes.
Yeah. I got a sneaky feeling about this game.
Oh, what? Oh, no.
Of Cleveland. I have a sneaky feeling that Cleveland wins.
Oh, I thought you were about to drop a bonanza.
No, I wouldn't do that. That would be
much worse. You did something much worse. You just guaranteed that the Browns are going to be 0-11. Not that, like, you need
oh,
to
come on.
Happen. That's fine.
Who cares?
But, like, to me, what you just did is it's like a no-lose situation. Like, because now if Cleveland wins, you're going to be like, I had a sneaky feeling about it. But everybody expects them to lose. The only way they win is if it's a blizzard in Cleveland. And there is a chance of that. So I think the best advice we should give at this point is check the weather before you finalize your lineup on Sunday.
Yeah, it could really make an impact with Eli Rogers. And you're gonna want to watch fantasy football today on Sunday morning, and we'll have some information for you on Saturday night about the weather as well. And I on fantasy football. No, I was certainly not gonna do that to this game, Dave. But bonanza alert! Titans Colts, big one, and it's reflected in my FanDuel lineup. Hey, let's play a game called Beat the Waiver Wire. I think it's kind of tough this week. Is there anybody that you should stash right now, for next week and beyond? Eli Rogers, honestly, is probably my number one
stash. That's a start.
Yeah, but he's so underowned. He's like 35% owned.
It's crazy. So this is a guy. Take one thing from today's podcast. Go put Eli Rogers. If you have to put him on your bench, go ahead. But he's been very involved in Pittsburgh's offense. He's got a very good matchup. And I actually think it gets better for him. It's a short week. He plays on Thanksgiving against Indianapolis. That's a good matchup for him. He's got the Giants 2 weeks after that at home. It's not so bad. At Buffalo 3 weeks from now, that's pretty good. At Cincinnati in week 15, that's really good. So there is some long-term like here with young Eli Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think Ladarius Green, if you just like have a spot, I keep saying that. Michael Floyd, I don't think you're starting him this week, but at Atlanta, Washington, at Miami, and New Orleans in the following 4 weeks, he's 65% owned.
That's a good stash. Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
I don't know if we've said it enough, but Sammy Watkins is somebody that I'm starting to pick up.
And the other one would be the Giants DST. I like him this week, and I love him next week at the Browns.
Yep.
And that's, you know, it's not the same type of stash week as we've had before. And Dave, that's going to do it for Beat the Waiver Wire.
Noises.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Hey, look, it's holiday time. Great holiday deals right now at Indochino.com. Even if you don't want to take advantage of our offer of $389 for a premium made-to-measure suit on Indochino.com with our offer code FFT, why don't you head to Indochino.com and see their pants, their shirts, other products, too.
Do they do – it's the same price no matter what your size.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm a little on the portly side.
It's a little – it's not really fair that you and I would be paying the same price for a suit. It's
I know, because they need, like, 4 threads to make your suit, and they need a circus tent to make mine.
It's at least 70% more material for Dave's suit.
I think so. Listen, for the same price, I mean, that is fair.
It is fair, yeah.
In a world where there isn't a lot of fair things, what Indochino's doing is fair. And you've got one of these suits, correct?
I do. And it's the first suit I've had that I'm just dying to wear. Like, please, somebody, get married. Have a special occasion so I can wear my Indochino suit. I've put it on. I just haven't been able to wear it out to an event yet. It fits me perfectly. I designed every aspect of it. It makes me look better. It's not an easy task. So get yourself an Indochino suit. You will see the difference. Our offer code is FFT on Indochino.com. You're getting 50% off and free shipping. $389 for a suit like this. Go to Indochino.com. Submit your measurements. Get hooked up with a premium suit. The offer code is FFT. All right, getting into the games now, the NFC home games. The Stardometer.
I thought it was the Stardometer.
Whatever it is. So here's the Nintendo theme I want to do. I want you to tell me.
We're so obsessed.
Is this player more like Glass Joe, Soda Popinski, or Mike Tyson?
I see.
Glass Joe being the easiest.
Can I use, like, Piston Honda?
You can. Yes, you can. You can use, you could do any punch out character, and I will explain to the audience who doesn't know how hard that character is. It starts with Glass Joe. He's the easiest. Mike Tyson's obviously.
Like the Adam Azer of punch out opponents. Is Glass Joe? Yes.
Okay.
There's no doubt. You are the Glass Joe.
So here are some, thank you. So here's some of the names I got. Theo Riddick against Jacksonville. Which punch out character is Theo Riddick?
I like Theo Riddick this week. I think he's the Von Kaiser of
you aren't the Von Kaiser is the second easiest character in the game.
Don't you face him twice?
No, you don't face it. You face Don Flamenco twice. You face Bald Bull twice.
Go with Don Flamenco.
All right, so he's good. We like Theo Riddick this week.
I like him. I don't love him. He's no Super Macho Man.
He's no Super, right. Super Macho Man's tough, by the way. By the way, Jacksonville allows the fourth most rushing yards per game, but the third fewest receiving yards per game to running backs and no receiving touchdowns yet. So, right. Russell Wilson against Philadelphia.
Now that's a Super Macho Man.
Yeah.
That's the second to last character, right? Before you get to Mike Tyson.
Or Mr. Dream, depending on which version you have.
It's Mike Tyson. He's right behind him. So he's a Super Macho Man. He's been playing great the past couple of weeks. Philadelphia has a tough task of keeping him contained in the pocket and managing to play well for four quarters in Seattle. It just seems insurmountable to me. And I feel like in two short weeks, Russell Wilson has regained everybody's trust.
Yeah, Wilson against the Eagles, who stink on the road. They give up 24.4 points per game on the road. And the last four quarterbacks they've faced on the road, Cousins, 20 fantasy points, Stafford, 24, Prescott, 30, Eli Manning, 30.
So good quarterbacks playing on the road. It all seems to make sense to go with Russell Wilson.
Super macho man.
But I would take Marcus Mariota ahead of him.
Okay. We have Octavio, who is nervous about starting Deion Lewis and Darren Sproles. Deion, by the way, on FanDuel, Deion Lewis, Thomas Rawls, and there's one other guy, and CJ Procise are all really cheap, but a little risky. So good tournament plays. Let's start with Deion Lewis.
Are you even sure that Deion Lewis is going to be active?
No.
Right. So you can't.
I thought he would be though.
So this is the interesting dilemma, is that it's 4 o'clock on Sunday and Deion Lewis is active for the game and you've got to make the choice between Lewis and Sproles. They both play late, right? Because they're both playing on the West Coast. Who do you go with? I would play it safe and go with Sproles.
All right. I feel like, I mean, Sproles has a very tough matchup though. So
he gets used plenty.
So if Lewis plays, you don't really like him that much?
No. I don't know what to expect.
Okay. You want to wait and see.
Those guys are at the Von Kaiser level.
Yeah, those are Von Kaisers.
Yeah, they're far from Bald Bull.
Austin McCarty wants to know Doug Martin on the punch-out scale.
I'm pretty confident in him. So let's give him the Bald Bull treatment.
The Bald Bull rematch or the first Bald Bull?
the rematch, of course.
All right, the tougher ball bowl. That's a good sign. That's a good sign for Doug Martin.
Yeah, I'm confident in Doug Martin.
Martin or Ajayi?
Wow, that's tough. I'd like to know whether or not the offensive line for Tampa Bay is good to go. The one thing that bothers me is that they're both going to play from behind. Maybe Martin does a little bit more. I think I would lean toward Martin, assuming that that offensive line for Miami is all thrown off.
I'm a little worried about Martin. He's averaging 2.9 yards per carry so far. He's only had 41 carries this season. The Chiefs DST, the Chiefs defense, as Heath pointed out, they are giving up a lot of yards per carry, but it's not that bad compared to what the running backs they've faced usually do. They did a great job against Jonathan Stewart. What?
I'm looking for 100 total yards.
Yeah, I think he just probably scores like 20 touches and gets in the end zone, like he'll score. You know. That's Doug Martin. Okay, how about Jordan Matthews? Jordan Matthews, by the way, six wide receivers have had 84 or more yards against Seattle. Bit of an arbitrary number, I know. Last year, only seven did that. So already six through nine games against Seattle. Jordan Matthews, Dave, on the punch out scale.
It's Don Flamenco.
Is that worse than Bald Bull? That's just below. So that means he's slightly worse than your confidence scale than Doug Martin.
Yeah, it should be more than that. Maybe, do we go?
He's Piston Honda rematch.
Okay. No, but not Piston Honda the first time?
That's pretty low.
It's low.
Okay, but then he's Piston Honda.
Piston Honda original.
Okay, that's pretty low. That means you don't like Jordan Matthews very much.
I might even go as far as to say he's King Hippo.
No, that's after Piston Honda.
I know.
But he's so easy. But he's so easy.
In PPR, he's King Hippo.
Okay. I got the order right. So Jordan Matthews or Eli Rogers?
I'll go with Eli Rogers.
Jordan Matthews or Carlos Hyde?
PPR Matthews standard Hyde.
Okay. Next up, Golden Tate. Golden Tate. What do you think?
I like him a lot in PPR. I don't think the Lions get away from him at all. And I think he's going to be a little bit tougher for Jacksonville's corners to cover than Marvin Jones.
So, bum, 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 bum. He's Mr. Sandman?
Just happened.
I'm
PPR, yes. Sandman was a good, tough.
Sandman is the third hardest character.
Who's the fourth?
Who was before Sandman? The Don Flamenco rematch, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what he is? You know what? That's what he is in PPR, but he's Don Flamenco 1 in standard.
Okay, so this could get a little confusing here, so I'll throw out some...
This is your invention, dude. If it's confusing, it's your fault.
Golden Tate or Tyreek Hill?
I will go Hill standard, Tate PPR.
Golden Tate or Jay Ajayi PPR?
Tate.
Okay. Yeah, he's been very, very involved. Sometimes it's easy to forget when the guys are coming off a bye, but he's been very, very involved with his last four games. Just a couple more here. David Johnson in Minnesota. David Johnson.
Mike Tyson.
Seattle running backs. Rawls and Prosise.
I keep going back and forth, and I know what the reports say about Prosise starting, getting more work. I just can't help but feel like they're going to try and get Rawls moving already. And I like the potential of 40 yards and a touchdown, maybe even 50 yards and a touchdown. And Prosise isn't going to get 24 touches this week. So I feel better about Rawls in a standard, and I'll take Prosise with the catches in a PPR.
Okay. So we'll come back to that game in a little bit. That was your Mike Tyson punch-out theme start-o-meter. Appreciate it. My FanDuel lineup, we hit last week. Had a good one. What's that?
Did you win $1 million?
No, I won like $4.50 because I always play a $5 50-50. So.
All right, good for you.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
Yeah. I went big on the Steelers last week. This week I'm doing the Colts. Luck, Gore, and Moncrief. I also have LeSean McCoy, Antonio Brown, and AJ Green. That's pretty good. Martellus Bennett, Mike Nugent, the Dolphins DST. So Luck, Gore, McCoy, Brown, Green, woo, love it, Moncrief, Bennett, Nugent, and the Dolphins DST.
It's good. We have only two or three similar guys. In my FanDuel cash lineup, I'm going with Cousins at quarterback. I like LeGarrette Blount, obviously. I think a lot of people are going to use him in cash. I think he's fine. Le'Veon Bell against Cleveland, he's worth it. Start him. Eli Rogers is a sneaky play, and then A.J. Green and Dez Bryant at receiver. Martellus Bennett at tight end. Cairo Santos. Cairo Santos.
Okay.
And, I'm going to go contrarian at defense. I'm going to go with the Vikings. Call him for a bounce-back game at home.
Ooh. Okay. Baltimore or Dallas, and you know, we can transition from daily to seasonal here. You're definitely starting Ezekiel Elliott in every seasonal league.
You should. If you don't, I don't know what you're doing.
In daily, I think he's completely matchup proof, but Baltimore does have the number one run defense in the NFL. 3.3 yards per carry. Second fewest fantasy points to running backs. LeSean McCoy had 12. Le'Veon Bell had 6 fantasy points in standard. They both averaged less than 3 yards per carry, so maybe you don't go Zeke in FanDuel or DraftKings, whatever you're playing this week, but you're starting him in seasonal. The Baltimore running backs, Dave. First of all, Joe Flacco is around 20 if you're not starting him. But the Baltimore running backs, Dallas allows 4.1 yards per carry. I don't think they get run on a lot. You know, they dominate time of possession. How do you feel about these guys, and who do you like better?
I actually like Dixon better. I think he'll end up playing a little bit more. I don't think he's going to be their lead back. I think they're still going to try and use West in that role. But the one thing that I noticed about the Cowboys is that they've allowed 10.4 yards per catch to running backs in their last two games. And that doesn't include a receiving touchdown that a running back has had. I like the idea of Kenneth Dixon getting a lot of catches again. I think he's a sneaky play in PPR. I think he's a sneaky tournament play on DraftKings where it's full point PPR. And I think that Dixon is going to end up outproducing West in a standard league. I'm still going to go Dixon over West, but I don't feel like either one of them is going to get more than maybe 65 total yards.
Would you start Rob Kelly or Kenneth Dixon in PPR, though?
Kelly.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right about Dallas and the pass-catching running backs. 5 running backs have had 46 or more receiving yards against the Cowboys. That's a lot.
You want to know the funniest Rob Kelly stat I've got?
Uh-huh.
He has more receiving touchdowns than receiving yards.
What?
He has more receiving touchdowns, one, than receiving yards, minus one.
Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is funny. Steve Smith is only 80% owned. Dave's big Steve Smith fan. He has him 18th in standard and 10th in PPR.
Lots of catches, lots of targets, playing out of the slot. It's where Dallas is particularly weak. And I think Joe Flacco is going to look for him frequently in this game. So I am confident. I am Piston Honda the second time.
Nah, you're more. Are
we doing that or not?
What? No, we can, but you got to ump it. You got to up it. If he's 10th for you in PPR, then this is Sandman or
I remember having a hard time with Piston Honda when I played the game.
He just requires a little practice, a little patience. And I think his gloves move or his eyes move. And then
his eyebrows.
All right. Well, I've beaten Punch Out, so.
Like, I had to have a friend tell me, you got to watch out for those eyebrows.
Yeah, the eyebrows, right. Yeah.
But I was 8. I was probably eating while I was playing.
And Mike Wallace. We don't like him, right?
No. When his numbers with Steve Smith on the field haven't been as good.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Cleveland had a 95, or Pittsburgh, rather, when he had a 95 yard touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. But almost every receiver who's led his team in receiving against Dallas is almost everyone has been a slot receiver. So,
yep.
Yeah. Dak Prescott, a little low for you guys. 12th for Jamie, 15th for Dave, 16th for Heath. 21 or more fantasy points in 6 of his last 7 games. 4 straight games with multiple passing touchdowns. Baltimore does have the 5th best pass defense, gives up the 12th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. And they've done well against Cousins. They destroyed Tyrod Taylor, but Carr, Manning, and Roethlisberger had 31, 30, and 20 fantasy points. I don't know. I was a little surprised to see Dak outside of your top 12.
He's absolutely safe. I think you're right in that 20 to 22 point range with Dak. I think there are a lot of other quarterbacks that have more upside and the chance to get to 25 plus points, but there's an injury to watch here. And if Jimmy Smith, he's the top cornerback for Baltimore, if he doesn't play, then all bets are off, and Dak could end up having a very good game. So you'll see Dak move up the rankings if Jimmy Smith is questionable or doesn't look like he'll play. Maybe he'll get ruled out. But that is a huge piece of the puzzle for Baltimore's pass defense. And if he's out, then Dak and Dez, the profile grows for both of them.
I'm surprised that you have Jameis Winston ahead of Dak, just the way you've spoken about Winston.
Sure, but I understand that Tampa Bay probably is going to end up playing from behind in that game, and Jameis can pull a Bortles and get some good numbers in the fourth quarter.
All right, we all have, not me, but the other three, they have Dez in the top nine in both formats. Starter sit Cole Beasley. Would you rather have Cole Beasley or Mike Wallace this week?
I think that's another, I'll go Cole over Wallace, and that's another guy that will be impacted by Jimmy Smith. If Jimmy Smith ends up being out, then that hurts Cole Beasley, because I think it makes the matchup better and more appealing for Dez Bryant on the outside and for all the outside receivers in Dallas. Not that anybody's going to use, Terrence Williams. But if Jimmy Smith plays, I think that makes that matchup tougher. I think it's going to hurt Dez, and I think it opens things up underneath for Cole Beasley. I'm looking for 60 yards from him, and I think he's a safe 60 yards, whereas Mike Wallace, I don't see him having a lot of upside against the Cowboys D.
Beasley or Rawls?
Rawls.
Even in PPR?
PPR, you can go Bees.
All right. And sit Jason Witten. Baltimore DST. I did not realize that the Ravens DST is the number three DST in fantasy in weekly scoring. Mm-hmm. They have been amazing in their last three games.
I believe they're the only team in the league to play Cleveland twice this year.
Ah, well, that helps. But even against non-Cleveland, they've been good. And Dallas allows actually the second fewest fantasy points to DSTs. So you have Dallas DST 12th and the Ravens DST 13th. They're both borderline.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with their pass rush. It's been okay. I think it'll be limited at best against that offensive line. I think their run defense will be good, but I just don't know how many turnovers they'll end up getting. So I'm not really feeling the Ravens DST. And again, Jimmy Smith is a factor. If he's out, then that's bad.
Okay, let's go to Detroit and Jacksonville in Detroit. Looks like the Lions might be getting a little healthier here with Darius Slay coming back. Is Ziggy Ansah coming back?
Yeah, it looks like he is, and DeAndre Levy's got a chance to play as well.
Nice.
So that defense could end up being healthy just in time for the Jaguars.
So which quarterback do you like better in this game?
I actually like Bortles better.
Really?
I do. I think he'll end up he's obviously going to end up throwing more because he can't run. I think Detroit can run a little bit if they want to. I think they'll try. Let's put it that way. I think they'll give a lot of carries to Riddick and Dwayne Washington. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be great. I think Riddick and PPR is obviously a safer bet. But I don't know if there's really room for Detroit to have a huge running game, but they're going to try.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup for Stafford. Jacksonville allows the fourth fewest passing yards per game.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. And they've given up some touchdowns like Rivers and Rodgers, Luck, Carr. Three of the four have had good games, fantasy-wise, but all four of them have had less than 234 passing yards. So you're hoping for touchdowns for Stafford.
Adam, four of the last five quarterbacks to take on the Jaguars have had 17 or fewer fantasy points. It includes Derek Carr.
Yeah.
So they're secondary, now that it's healthy, it's starting to play a little bit better. Their pass rush is getting a little bit better. I'd like to see what that offensive line looks like and or ends up being for Detroit coming out of the bye. I don't know if we're going to know that. They might keep that a secret. But to me, it Stafford isn't going to have to push the envelope a ton in this game.
Okay, Dave. How about Allen Robinson? We're cool with him, right?
You got to be.
Okay.
You got it. And, you know, homecoming game for him. He's from Detroit.
Golden Tate, you like. So Marvin Jones or Cole Beasley?
I think I have it ranked where... Let me double check.
Okay. And by the way, Julius Thomas is a decent sleeper this week. 56% owned. The only thing he does well is catch touchdowns. The Lions are giving up the most fantasy points to tight ends because they have allowed a touchdown in 7 of 9 games.
It's what I thought it was. Jones standard, Beasley PPR.
Okay. Both are like number three-ish?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Jordan Matthews or Marvin Jones?
Matthews.
Matthews? Okay. Any hope for Dwayne Washington in this game?
No, I wouldn't start him. And okay. He's just an okay stash. I just, you know, a couple of times earlier this year he flashed. He was pretty good. I don't know if that Lions run game has truly been solved.
No, but here's the thing with Washington. He's only had two games with 10 carries, right? He's had like four in the others.
He gets any more than that.
Sure, but the two games, unfortunately for him, were at Green Bay and home against and at Minnesota. So he had tough matchups even when he got the work, and he didn't do all that well with it. We like Theo Riddick this week. the Lions DST is eighth for Jamie, 11th for Dave, and 6th for Heath. Lions or Giants this week?
For defense, I'm going to go with Giants.
Yeah. All right. Want to apologize if we're having some audio issues today. I'm not sure if you're hearing it. We're having some connectivity issues. It's been annoying. Sorry about that. Philadelphia at Seattle here, Dave. I'll just ask you this. Are there any Eagles you feel good about this week?
No. Sproles in a PPR, Jordan Matthews in a PPR. I think that's kind of obvious. I'm sorry. I'm not buying Ryan Matthews even after the game he had last week.
Well, would you rank the running backs in this game? Let's do that.
That's an excellent question. Rawls is first for me, and I know that people aren't going to like that. They're going to read all the reports. They're going to see what ProSize did last week, and they're going to like ProSize better. If you've got both and you like ProSize better, do your thing. It's very close between the two. I've got Rawls 22, ProSize 25. They're both ahead of Darren Sproles, who I have at 27, and I've got Ryan Matthews dead last. This could very easily be a game where he scores and gets you 10 yards with it. And he's limited. We've seen it before. Philadelphia won't hesitate to do it again. They might love to try and control the clock by running the ball like they did last week. I just don't think it's going to work out for them against Seattle.
I think that you have to spend some time here on the Seahawks running backs. This is going to be one of the most asked questions that we've been getting all week and that we're going to continue to get. So I'm just going to throw out some names. And, you know, basically you have Rawls and ProSize pretty close. So that helps.
The guys in between them are Isaiah Crowell and Rashad Jennings.
Let me ask you wide receivers, though. DeAndre Hopkins or Seattle running back?
Seattle running back.
Okay, I was a little surprised by that. More wide receivers. How about...
Why were you surprised by that?
No, I guess I wasn't that surprised. I thought maybe in PPR you'd go with Hopkins. How about Jamison Crowder or Seattle running backs?
Crowder.
How about Stephon Diggs or Seattle running backs?
Standard Seattle running backs, PPR, Diggs.
Doug Baldwin, another good game. What do you think?
I think it can happen. I think people are going to be more willing to start him. And remember last year when Russell Wilson got hot in the second half, so did Doug Baldwin. And Baldwin, two games ago, he didn't score. He came close. He had 89 yards, I believe. And then last week, obviously, the three touchdown outburst. I think people can start him against Philadelphia. I like the matchups at the corner.
Yeah, okay. So sit the Eagles DST and sit Tyler Lockett. Arizona is at Minnesota. Who do you feel good about in this game other than David Johnson?
For the Cardinals or for
anyone?
Larry Fitzgerald.
You do?
Out of work. I think he's a pretty safe pick for 10 and 100 yards. 10 catches, 100 yards. Not 10 touchdowns. This is going to be a less than 10 touchdown game for Fitzgerald. Not really buying into any of the other receivers. Not Michael Floyd. Xavier Rhodes, I believe, is expected to play. That's obviously worth keeping an eye on.
Oh, they look like they're getting healthy, actually.
They do. Yeah, Eric Kendricks is going to come back, and Captain Munderland is going to play. So they're coming back at the right time. This is a good week to use the Vikings defense in daily fantasy.
Yeah, and Kyle Rudolph or Zach Miller?
Miller, way over Rudolph.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not. Arizona has held every tight end they faced to 53 yards or less, and they've allowed as many touchdowns to tight ends as you have, Adam.
Yeah, yeah, they allow the fewest fantasy points to tight ends. Arizona also allows the fewest fantasy points to running backs, although they will be probably without defensive tackle Corey Peters and linebacker Daniel Buchanan. But do not start a Minnesota running back, please.
Right. And if you have to, it's Asiata.
Arizona DST is second for Jamie, fourth for Dave, first for Heath. Vikings DST, even though three straight weeks scoring 5 fantasy points, they're top 8 for everybody, 8th for Dave, 5th for Jamie, 3rd for Heath.
I might even put them ahead of the Cardinals DST.
Really?
Yeah. I think this could be a low-scoring game just in general. We've got two bad offensive lines, two shaky quarterbacks, one really bad run game. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of points scored.
Chicago at the Giants. The Giants see the most pass attempts per game in the NFL, and they've been very good against running backs at home. They've played 5 home games. They've done very well against running backs there. They've been good against running backs altogether. But Jordan Howard, you actually have him in your top 10. You feel good about Howard?
I think the Bears have to lean heavy on the rookie. And I think, obviously, the matchups, I don't know if it's best for him there. I hear what you're saying. There have been seven times this year where running backs against the Giants have had 20 or more carries, and the Giants have allowed 8 touchdowns in those games. Mm-hmm. 3.9 yards per carry. I think Howard's going to have to score for you in order to help your fantasy team, but I could see him getting you 75 total yards and a touchdown.
How about Chicago wide receivers? Starting any of them?
No. I think everybody kind of ran to Cameron Meredith. I got to see him connect with Jay Cutler first. I'm curious if Marquise Wilson will get activated for this game, but if not, I think Eddie Royal's the better play.
And Zach Miller, top 10 tight end, right around 10th. Dave has him 12th in PPR. Giants have struggled in their last three games against tight ends. Lance Kendricks, 7 catches, 55 yards, and he dropped an easy touchdown. And then Ertz and Eifert, big games. So Miller figures to get more targets. Eli Manning, 10th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, 12th for Heath, 7 touchdowns, 4 picks in his last two games, but he really has been good at home. So you're starting Eli Manning.
And good quarterbacks have done well against the Bears all year. They've put up a minimum of 22 fantasy, which we're talking about, like Winston, Rodgers, Dak Prescott even should be included in that list, Andrew Luck. The bad quarterbacks, they've struggled. They have failed to get to 20 fantasy points, but we're talking about really bad quarterbacks, including Brock Osweiler.
Okay, Rashad Jennings, would you start?
He's the poster boy for bad quarterbacks.
Osweiler, yeah. Would you start Rashad Jennings or CJ Procise?
I like Jennings better in non-PPR. I think he can score this week. I kind of like the fire that we saw from him last week. And this is a game where I think the Giants build a lead and they try and crush it.
Yeah, that could
be. And I think that's where Jennings is going to make his numbers. He could have a really bad first half and then just come through in the second half.
Starter sits Sterling Shepard. 6 straight games with 50 or fewer yards, but a touchdown in 2 straight. Actually, wait. Before you answer that, I was kind of proud of this stat. Sterling Shepard had, I think, 4 targets in week 1. He has had 6 to 8 targets every week since. So I'm penciling in for 6 to 8 targets. I looked at every wide receiver against Chicago that's had 6 to 8 targets in a game. 2 of 10 scored double-digit fantasy points against the Bears.
Interesting. Were they slot guys or were they outside guys?
Mostly slot, I guess. Fuller, Aguilar, Bryant, Beasley, Marvin Jones, Bolden, Chester Rogers, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, Adam Humphries. So mostly slot.
No, you only gave me 3 that were in the slot.
Beasley.
Yep.
Bolden.
Uh-huh.
Humphries.
Humphries can go in or out.
Marquise Lee.
He's typically been outside.
Okay. Chester Rogers?
Outside.
Nelson Aguilar? Outside?
He doesn't even have hands.
All right. So they're only 10, so 4-ish have been slot.
I'm going to ride him, and I think the Giants would be smart to ride him and use him and get him work.
And we like the Giants DST, and Robbie Gould has a revenge game, so obviously he's going to have a huge game. Patriots and the 49ers, Dave, to finish it off. I guess, tell me about Deion Lewis. Tell me about Julian Edelman.
I'm not starting Lewis. He's staying on my bench. I don't know how much he's going to play.
You like Edelman?
He's all right. I think he's going to give you what he's, you know, been doing. 7, 8, 9 fantasy points.
Edelman or Shepard?
He had a great game last week until he fumbled. I'm going Shepard.
Shepard. Okay. Finally, Colin Kaepernick or Carr?
Carr.
Stafford.
Kaepernick.
Carson Palmer.
Kaepernick.
Dave Richard.
Number one in your hearts.
Number one in your hearts. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been a crazy show.
Has it been?
For me, it has been.
Maybe for whoever produces the show.
Yeah, it's going to be like an hour-long edit with all, gosh, man, technical issues galore.
But Dave, it's worth it.
Dave's computer is from the Stone Age, so.
I haven't changed it since 1988.
Yeah, so he's got like, it's 3 feet tall. So,
so hard to carry through airports.
Yeah, crazy.
Let's do it live on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to do it live on Saturday night. Eye on Fantasy Football. We will talk to you then. For Dave Richard, I'm Adam Azer. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good luck in week 11. See ya.
Bye.